ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
When you're trying to get in shape and, you know, you're exercising, it hurts. There's pain because you're stretching your muscles. You're making them grow, and you break them down to build them up. And that's what the Lord does with difficult times in our lives. He breaks us down of ourselves to trust in Him, and our faith muscle, in a sense, grows. Is He not concerned about my present situation? Of course He's concerned. But again, He's helping us to grow. If we don't grow, then we're going to get tripped up every time something difficult comes our way. God is not this benevolent grandfather that's just going to pour all kinds of blessings upon our life and nothing bad will happen to us. You know, one of the greatest blessings any parent, including God the Father, can bestow on their children is godly character, honesty, integrity, kindness, love, strong worth ethic, and so on. God is building in us the characteristics of Christ, the nature of Christ. But they take time to build. And we want God to fix things immediately, don't we? For me, I wish I could be in shape, run one day and all of a sudden, you know, I can run a six-minute mile. Yeah, that's not going to happen. I'm never going to run a six-minute mile again, maybe in heaven. But it doesn't work that way. It takes time. You know, remember when you're a kid growing up? Man, I can't wait to get my driver's license. You can get your driver's license, you know, and okay, that's great. Can't wait till I can get out of school. Then you have to work. Can't wait till I retire. Oh my gosh, what do I have left, right? Our faith, guys, is going to grow as we trust God. Because no matter what happens, He's still God. And He loves us more than we'll ever know. He knows what's best and what we need to grow. And we need to be able to rest in that. Even though there are times I don't understand it. Many times. But I trust in Him. And just as Jesus was drawing out a father's faith here, He continues to draw out our faith and help us to grow. Now, imagine this man and how he felt after hearing these words from Jesus. I get the picture, and our next point, a heart that is overwhelmed. Look at verse 49 here in John chapter 4. The nobleman said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Can you feel this man's pain, his agony? Here's his son dying. He's just, "Lord, please come down before he dies. Help him, heal him." But that's not what Jesus is going to do. And you think, well, why? Because Jesus is going to continue to stretch this man's faith. And I think another lesson here is our persistence in prayer. Hey, I prayed one time. How come it didn't happen? And let me also say this, because some people get confused that, you know, we just got to keep praying and, you know, we'll pester God enough that He'll just get tired of hearing from us and go, fine, you want to take it. Really? I don't want God to answer my prayer that way. You know, I think of Hezekiah. Remember Isaiah came to Hezekiah. Hezekiah, get your house in order, you're going to die. I don't want to die. And he's crying out. Isaiah leaves. God says, go back and tell Hezekiah I'll give you 15 more years. The perfect will for Hezekiah was, you're going to die. The permissive will now is God's given him 15 more years. You think, well, that's awesome. But in those 15 years, it was pretty bad things happened. A son was born by the name of Manasseh, who was one of the most wicked kings in the southern kingdom of Judah. Because of his sin, the nation of the southern kingdom of Judah went into captivity. It was in a downward spiral after that. I think many times, you know, I don't know if, for me, when my kids were young, I don't know if they did this, if your kids did this, but they were very persistent, right? Dad, we want a dog. No, we're not getting a dog because I'm going to have to. We want a dog, Dad. No, and it never ends. It's like constantly, we want a dog, we want a dog. We got a dog. And I took care of the dog, right? You know, it's just what it is. But that's not our God. He does want us to be persistent in our prayers to Him, but not that we're badgering Him, but that we're coming before Him, and with a broken heart, we're laying our requests at His feet. And always, Lord, not my will, because I don't always know what's best for my life, but Your will be done, because He knows what's best. I guarantee you that if I knew all the things that were going to happen in my life before they happened, I would avoid them. Because I don't like difficulty. I don't like problems. I would try to avoid every single thing, and none of this stuff would happen to me. But God knew exactly what I needed. Now, was it what I wanted? No. But I know Father knows best. And I have to trust in him. And again, I don't always understand why God heals this person and another person, they die. How can I, with my finite mind, understand an all-knowing God? I can't. Well, then what are we supposed to do? Trust him. We're to trust him. Remember that God loves you more than you will ever know. He has what's best for your life. Fall back on what you know. Don't try to figure out what you don't know. Fall back on what you know. He loves you, and he has what's best for you. And I may not understand it, but I will trust him. And I know, you know, Romans 8:28 we hear all the time, right? And sometimes we get so used to it, or we just kind of blow, oh, yeah, yeah, all things work together for good. Yeah, 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 whatever. This was given to Paul by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We know all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. We know these things. Can we trust him now? See, that's the hard part. And that's something I think we all try to deal with, right? Something happens in our lives. We go, why is this happening? How could this have happened? How many things are working for good? 75% of the things we go through. No, all things. All things are, and again, I don't get it, but I know it. I may not understand it, but I know it. Why? Because God said it. And I have to trust in him. I can know that. One writer said that he uses a very plaintive word for child, my little boy. That's Jesus saying that. The Father saying that, come down before my little boy dies. We can sense the agony in the Father's words as he pleads with Jesus. He has a certain kind of faith, a belief that Jesus is some type of miracle worker, that he is in touch with powers that ordinary people do not have, that perhaps he can come down in a last desperate measure, do something for this little lad whose suffering image is so clearly engraved on his mind's eye as he makes his plea. But it is a low level of faith. Obviously, he feels that everything is going to be lost if Jesus will not come, that he has to come and touch the boy before anything can happen. And that brings us to the next point, the miracle. And listen to what Jesus says to this desperate father. Verse 50 here in John 4. Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, your son lives. What did Jesus say to him? Go your way, your son lives. And what does the desperate man say? Are you kidding me? I need you to come down and heal my son. What do you mean, go my way? He's dying. No, he didn't say that, which is really impressive to me. And I wonder how often Jesus speaks to us, and yet we just can't believe it, or we refuse to believe. That's a hard one. With all the years up here in ministry, there have been times that I get discouraged. And my wife is so wonderful. And she'll just say these words, and she said them many times to me. Joe, do you really think God just brought you up here to dump you off? You know, I kind of get mad because I didn't like it, but it's true. God has called me up here and has gave me what the vision for this church. He called me to Wisconsin before he even brought me to Wisconsin. Do I believe it? Oh, there was some doubt. Don't you trust him? Oh, yeah, I do. So I have to get refocused. And we all do. We have to get refocused on the Lord. Look at verse 50 again, because this is the key to this man's faith. So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. What word? Jesus says, go home. Go to your son. He's healed. And he believes Jesus, and that belief is seen in his walk, his actions. Why didn't Jesus go with him? Again, I think he's stretching out this man's faith. Jesus says he's healed. He has to leave believing that Jesus has healed him. His son is dying, so he makes it all the way back home. His son is still sick? No. But he believed his son is healed. That is amazing faith of this man. I think that is important for us. What did this man believe in? Well, Jesus, yeah. But was it signs and wonders that did it? No, because he didn't see his son healed. Not yet. What did he believe in? The words of Jesus. Wow. You know, isn't that an amazing thing? He believed what Jesus told him. What has Jesus told us? Well, it kind of goes from Genesis through Revelation. He's told us a lot of things. Can we trust in him? What a difference it would make in our own lives if we take God at his word, believe that he's able to accomplish that which he's promised us. You know, Paul in Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 3 said, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible." Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Can we trust what he's told us? Absolutely. God doesn't lie. He's not there to trick us. We don't, "Well, look, Lord, you said this." "Well, I was just kidding." Come on, really? No. But sometimes we find ourselves like the children of Israel when they're fighting against the Philistine giant Goliath. It's difficult to see the hand of God because the enemy is so big. The situation is so huge. There's no way out of it. What am I going to do? What did David do? He trusted in the promise of God. Here was a man mocking the living God. And David said, "You're going down, not by my strength, but by Almighty God, the one you're mocking." Trust God with all your heart, with all your understanding. That's what this man did. And here's the thing. Can we love God in good times and in bad, when things work out, when they don't work out, when crisis is averted or crisis hits? We need to. You know, years ago when Dawson Trotman drowned, it hit people very hard. Eyewitnesses tell of the profound anxiety, the tears, the helpless disbelief in the faces of those who looked out across the deep water. Everyone's face except one, Lila Trotman, Dawson's widow. As she suddenly walked upon the scene, a close friend shouted, "Oh, Lila, he's gone. Dawson's gone." I mean, imagine that. To that she replied in calm assurance the words of Psalm 115:3, "But our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases." Wow, that's faith. All the anguish, the sudden loneliness that normally consumes and cripples those who survive did not invade that woman's heart. Instead, she leaned hard upon her sovereign Lord, who once again done what he pleased. And you're thinking, man, that's kind of cold. Where was Dawson Trotman? He was home with the Lord. I mean, there's no pain or suffering for him. Maybe his wife. Did she not have any feelings? No, she was not stoic. She grieved. There was that loss. Absolutely. God didn't make us emotionless people. And me being Italian, I'm pretty emotional. Just ask my wife. But her faith was in the Lord. She trusted the Lord. She believed where her husband was at. Is there going to be a time of separation? There is. Until she goes home to be with the Lord. And God doesn't do things just to do them. He has a plan, a purpose. And I don't always understand the hows and whys. But again, I know his love. And that's what I fall back on. You know, remember when the World Trade Center towers in New York came crashing to the ground as, you know, terrorists flew the plane into them and the Pentagon was struck? People all over America were turning to God, asking for help in the time of crisis. You know, we saw what happened in Washington where they were on the steps, Democrats, Republicans, praying to God. Kind of weird. And one of the congressional prayer meeting, one of the congressmen prayed, "At a time like this, where else can we go? God, we have come to you." I think, well, that's awesome. But it was very superficial. "We're in trouble. We need your help, Lord." Now you'd ask them, "I don't believe in God." Or they believe in God, the God they make up with the imagination of their own heart. When all that is going on in this world today, in our own lives, we need the encouragement of some men who had the heat turned up in their lives and how they handled it. You may remember the story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Jewish men. Very interesting. Because I think many times we think, you know, "God, if you don't do something, I'm done with you. I can't go through this anymore." But here were three guys, three Jewish men, who were in captivity in Babylon. And Nebuchadnezzar was a brilliant, brilliant military commander. And he was a tyrant as a king. And in Daniel chapter 2, he's given a vision of this multi-metallic image. And he didn't know what it meant. So he asked his wise men, "What does this dream mean?" And they said, "You know, tell me the dream. Tell us the dream, and we'll give the interpretation." Well, Nebuchadnezzar thought, "You know, I don't trust these guys. You guys are the wise men. You're supposed to interpret dreams." They had a big book of dreams, interpretations. And so he said, "No, you got to tell me what I dreamed, and then give me the interpretation." Oh, like, no one's done that before. We need to know what the dream is so we can look in our little book here. He says, well, if you guys don't tell me, I'm going to kill y'all. Well, Daniel was part of that group. He was part of the captives. And Daniel not only interprets or tells the king what his dream was, but he interprets it for him. It was a huge multi-metallic image that represented Gentile empires. The head of gold represented the Babylonian Empire. Nebuchadnezzar was the head of gold, but it wasn't going to last forever. After his kingdom, the chest and arms of silver represented the Medo-Persian. After that, the belly and thighs of bronze represented the Grecian. Then came the legs of iron with Roman Empire. And then the 10 toes of iron and clay, which is the last Gentile empire, the revived Roman Empire. And it's during this last empire, a stone cut without hands, Jesus Christ is going to return and crush these empires and set up his kingdom. So the king hears all this. He's blown away that Daniel can interpret his dream. But he really doesn't turn to God at this point. And he creates this gold image, places it in the plains of Dura, and imagine the shine in this desert, gold just glistening, all gold, not gold and silver and so on. And what he's saying is, look, my kingdom's going to last forever. I don't care what you say to God. And he says, look, everyone's going to bow down to this image. When you hear the sound of this music, not the sound of music, that was late, much later, but the sound of this music, you are all to bow down. Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego weren't going to bow down. They only worship the true and living God. They weren't going to bow to this image or to some king. And when the king got word of this, he was furious, as you can imagine. What's interesting, he gives them another chance. He goes, I'll give you another chance, guys. He was a tyrant. If he didn't like you, you're dead. But he gives them another chance. And in Daniel 3, verses 14 and 15, we're told, Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Well, those are pretty harsh words. What are they going to do? The king's challenging their faith here. No one's going to be able to deliver you from my hands, he's basically saying. But in verses 16 through 18 of Daniel chapter 3, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. What I want you to notice here, and this is kind of interesting to me, is that no matter what God is going to do, they're going to serve him. It wasn't, hey, if you deliver us, we'll serve you. No, God may deliver us, O king. But if even he doesn't, we are not going to compromise our faith. We are not going to bow the knee because we love our God. And God did deliver him from the fiery furnace. That's faith based on the truths of God, who he is and not what's happening in their lives, happening around them, because God is in control. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, not by signs and wonder. They trusted God that no matter what, they would be with him. And it's not always easy. In fact, at times it can be so overwhelming in our lives. I don't try to downplay this at all. But if it was easy, we would need faith. I mean, think about it. If everything was easy, why would we even have to trust God? You get up today, hey, it's going to be another great day. No problems. I haven't experienced that one yet. But I have great days in the Lord. Not problem-free, but days where God sees me through every single day. He's the good shepherd. He's the one who leads. And it causes us, during those difficult times, to draw close to God. And think about faith. You all have faith. When you came here this morning, you all sat in this chair, in those chairs, right? How do you know I didn't unscrew all the screws in them? How did you know those chairs would support you? You had faith that they would. Can you have faith in a God who loves you more than you will ever know, a God who was willing to pay in full the penalty for your sins? Can you trust him with your life? And you need to. You need to. I'll just share a couple things from some men of faith. Oswald Chambers. Faith for my deliverance is not faith in God. Faith means whether I am visibly delivered or not, I will stick to my belief that God is love. There are some things only learned in a fiery furnace. Yeah, it's true. George Mueller. Faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. There's no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith begins where man's power ends. Absolutely. So here is the miracle. Jesus heals this man's son. What happened next? Seeing is believing, and I'll explain that a little bit because it may be a little misleading. But look at verse 52 as we finish up this morning here in John chapter 4. Then he inquired of them the hour when he got better. And they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, your son lives. And he himself believed in his whole household. This again is the second sign that Jesus did when he had come out of Judea into Galilee. I hope you can see here that this man believed the words of God, and the miracle of healing just confirmed what he believed. And this man's faith grew. It touched his family. They got saved through his testimony of Jesus. And like I said, I've called these verses seeing is believing, but the reality is seeing only confirmed what he had already believed to be true. He trusted in the words of God. He trusted what Jesus said, and he walked by faith. And it's interesting because this man didn't get home right away. He came home the next day. It took him a day to get home. Hey, if my son is dying and, okay, now Jesus says he's healed, you know what I'm doing? I am running as fast as I can to go find out. Why did this man take a whole day? Because he trusted what the Lord, he believed. Wow. That is incredible to me to see how this man's faith grew. And isn't that what Jesus was doing? He was drawing this man's faith out. He was helping it to grow. And that's what God does in our own lives. That's faith. Now here in verse 54 of John 4, we're told that this is the second sign that Jesus did in Galilee. And isn't that John's whole point of writing these things down? Why? So you can believe in Jesus, receive him as your Lord and Savior. In John 20, verses 30 through 31, John said, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that and that believing you may have life in his name. You see, God wants our faith to be stretched, to get us to depend more and more upon him, and we need to allow him to work in our lives, not by signs and wonders, but through his word. Signs and wonders follow after those that are following the Lord. Those are just an outflowing of you following God. God will do what he wants. The way to increase faith is just exercise it. Trust him, and God will keep giving you more and more. You know, we like comfort zones. We don't like being stretched or going outside those comfort zones. But isn't it interesting? And take a look at your life, where your comfort zone was and where it's at today. How did that happen? God stretched you. And each time we get stretched, God pushes it out a little farther and a little farther as we're growing in him, learning to trust in him. And I'll close with this. Where is your faith this morning? Faith or faithless? And when I say faithless, I mean, are we really going to trust in God's promise to us that he loves us and we just need to walk by faith? As we go through those difficult times, I think it's really important to be in the Word of God, to be in prayer with God, and to be in fellowship with other believers. And I've said this many times before, and I know I said I was closing with those last words, but hear me out. When you're going through a difficult time, when situations are a mess in your life, what tends to happen? You isolate yourself. You feel that you're the only one going through a difficult time, maybe, and you know, how could you go to church and be with other Christians or you just don't want them to know? And then you're not reading the Word. You're not reading the Bible. You're not in prayer. What's the use? It's just what the devil wants in our lives. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. How do I get encouraged? I let God speak to me by his Spirit through his Word. How does God speak to me? Well, through his Word, prayer gives me comfort. I can lay all my requests at his feet. Sometimes we're so burdened we can hardly stand. We can't even get up in the morning. Lord, you can handle these. I can't anymore. I can't do this. I can't go on. I'm giving them to you, Lord, so that I can get up and do those things you want me to do. Then you fellowship with other believers who will encourage you in the faith. They'll come alongside. And sometimes, guys, you don't have to say anything to them. You be there and you listen to them and you comfort them with the love of Christ. You don't necessarily have to quote Romans 8:28, all things work together for good, because that's probably not what they need to hear. They probably already know it. But what they need is a listening ear and a heart that is willing to reach out to them. Let's have faith in God, trust in his word, and see how he's going to use the situations in our lives to help us to grow and draw close to him. Let's pray. Father, again, this is always difficult when we deal with issues like this. Trusting you when, humanly speaking, we have no more hope. But you never ask us to trust in ourselves. You ask us to trust in you. And that's what we are trying to do, Lord. Trust you more and more each and every day so that we can grow in you. We thank you so much for your love, your patience, your guidance, directing us every single day. Help us to be open, Lord, and walk by faith. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.